Sometimes you just want the quick facts. No opinions, no speculation. I'm Claire Thornton, an audio editor with USA Today. My team works around the clock to bring you the Five Things podcast. Every morning, me and my co-host Taylor Wilson help you know what to keep an eye out for that day. We always have a fresh mix of stories, from politics to entertainment to sports, covering all parts of the country. On Sundays, you can lean back with in-depth episodes about stories you may have heard earlier that week. Go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite shows and start listening to Five Things today.
Inside Florida Politics, powered by the USA Today Florida Network. Governor Ron DeSantis has a higher favorability rating than Trump in Florida. Biden is well behind Trump in the latest Florida poll. And ballot measures on abortion and marijuana are no sure thing. Hello, I'm USA Today campaign reporter Zach Anderson, and those are some of the stories I'll be discussing this week with Gannett State Capitol reporter John Kennedy and Palm Beach Post politics editor Antonio Finns. But first, well, gentlemen, we have a new exclusive USA Today poll that was out last week, so we're going to discuss a lot of that. There's a lot of numbers in this segment, but do you have some other numbers for us today, John?
Yeah, Zach, I came in today with a 56.
All right, 56. How about you, Antonio?
I'm in with the 23, but it's not for South Florida resident Michael Jordan's jersey number.
All right, Antonio, not repping MJ today. My number is 411,000. Remember those numbers, folks. We'll tell you what they mean in Florida politics at the end of the show. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis was savaged by Trump during the presidential primary, but it doesn't seem to have hurt his standing with Florida Republicans. Trump mocked DeSantis as sanctimonious and said MAGA would never forgive the governor for his betrayal. But 90% of Florida Republicans say they view DeSantis favorably in a new poll, compared to 80% who view Trump favorably. DeSantis also has a higher overall favorability rating in Florida than Trump. Antonio, it doesn't seem like DeSantis's primary campaign inflicted any permanent damage on him with the Republican base.
No, it didn't. But I think the numbers overall look a little bit more mixed. For example, I noticed that 50% of those gave him approval on the economy, another 52% on crime and safety. Okay, those are pretty healthy numbers, including among independents that were at 49% and 53% on those two issues. But then you look at other issues. For example, on book bans, he's way underwater at 30% approval to 55% disapprove. And then on abortion, 34% to 51%. So what this kind of tells us is that on traditional conservative issues, DeSantis scores overall pretty well, extremely well. But then when he gets into these woke war battlegrounds, then it's not so positive for him. He seems to be underwater by wide gap. So,
yeah, and another interesting kind of one of the subtexts in the poll was that DeSantis is really viewed unfavorably by Democrats and viewed unfavorably by independents. And so he has strong support from Republicans, but it seems like some of his hard right governing and campaigning over the last couple of years has really potentially damaged him as a general election candidate.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the question, there are a couple of unknowns here. Number one is we really don't know what his post-governor plans are. You know, 2028, the presidential run again has been widely speculated and discussed. But then again, we don't know who he might be running against. And we don't know where Trump will land. And the former president, and who is also the presumptive 2024 GOP nominee, well, you know, he and DeSantis still kind of have this uneasy, flinty relationship. So we don't know how Trump, who still views himself and many Republicans view as the kingmaker in the party, we don't know where he's going to land on this. I do think, you know, what's kind of critical here is that DeSantis still has two more sessions in Florida to govern, to basically establish his legacy and you know, basically make a case, not just to Floridians for his next job, but nationally. And then what this poll tells us is, you know, if he sticks to conservative, traditional conservative issues, the budget, management of taxes, the economy, jobs, you know, he's going to fare pretty well. And when he gets into the woke war battlegrounds, that's where I think people start getting turned off and he starts running into some headwinds.
Yeah. What do you think, though, about him having a higher favorability rating than Trump? I mean, it does seem to say that Republicans are sort of taking what Trump says about DeSantis with a grain of salt. Although, you know, I talked to a political science professor and he was saying, well, you know, if you look at the polls heading into the Florida primary, DeSantis was way behind Trump. So, you know, maybe he has a higher favorability rating. Maybe Trump didn't damage him that much. But the hearts and minds of many Republicans are still with Trump in terms of his support maybe being deeper than DeSantis's.
That certainly seems what the case is, that basically that, look, it may have well been that people like DeSantis, but they preferred Trump as a presidential candidate. You know, that's not out of the realm, you know, of possibility. And I think that's what the 2024 race told us, the primary race told us, not just in Florida, but around the country, that Republicans, by and large, wanted Trump to be their guy. And it wasn't really DeSantis's time. Will it be DeSantis's time in 2028 or beyond that? I you know, that remains to be seen. But yeah. I think clearly that is exactly what you know, the not only the Florida primary, but the Iowa caucuses and New Hampshire and all these other states showed us.
Yeah, but it is interesting that Trump's criticism of DeSantis didn't really hurt his favorability with Republicans, because, you know, if DeSantis is running in 2028, it's not clear that, you know, all's bygones be bygones with Trump, and that Trump, you know, might continue to go after him. And this poll seems to indicate that, you know, while Trump is well liked with Republicans, that his criticisms of other Republicans are not necessarily, you know, gonna be the end of them. So we'll have to see.
Look, and I would add that it's not like DeSantis is really out there bending over backward to curry Trump's favor right now. They still seem to snipe a little bit at each other. And maybe DeSantis has seen that okay, you know, despite the back and forth and the way he savaged me, I still rate pretty high among Republicans. So maybe I can be my own man.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the end, that could probably be better for him if he is seen as his own man to some degree. It's not always great to be, even though Trump has been a kingmaker, it's not always great to be beholden to folks, you know, in your political life. Coming up, constitutional amendments on marijuana and abortion rights are no sure thing. Well, the new survey by USA Today and Ipsos also found that the constitutional amendments that are going to be on the ballot that would legalize recreational marijuana and codify support for abortion rights are no sure thing. They need 60% support to pass, but we're right now they're hovering just below that in the new poll. John, these amendments, they're really, the jury's still out on them.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to look at this survey. You know, when registered voters were polled by Ipsos and USA Today, they gave the two proposals relatively positive findings, with, you know, 57% saying they'd support the abortion access amendment and 56% saying they'd support the recreational marijuana one. But, you know, that level of support isn't enough for those that want to see this become law. And maybe this turns out to be, like a lot of elections, an election about voter turnout, you know, who comes out to vote. You know, both opponents and the supporters acknowledge that it's going to be close for these two measures to get at least 60%, which they need. I took a kind of deep dive on these ballot issues recently, and it's clear that the opposition to them sees the potential to just hold them under 60%. That's victory. You know, one anti-abortion advocate told me that that's clearly a win for his side. They don't really care if they get a sizable majority of the Florida voting public in support, you know, just not 60%. One strategy is that that you're kind of seeing sort of emerge is that for the antis on this, they plan to identify them with Joe Biden and Democrats. The Biden campaign pointed to these measures, particularly abortion rights, as something that can drive more of his supporters to the polls. And, you know, that kind of affirms this approach for anti-abortion advocates, making it something that in an increasingly red state like Florida, that those who would vote for abortion access, that they're defying Governor DeSantis, who, by the way, also has come out against recreational marijuana. The abortion rights people are trying to urge voter support by telling Floridians that they are, you know, certainly free to vote for Donald Trump, Rick Scott, and Republican legislators, but, you know, be sure that you vote for your right to have access to abortion as well. So they're trying to kind of nuance this where they're kind of saying, you know, this is not a partisan issue. You could still vote Republican, but if you want abortion rights, vote for this measure. You know, will that sell? You know, they hope it does. But the abortion rights folks realize that in Florida, if it becomes tagged as a Democratic thing, well, you know, that may hurt. And of course, you wonder how much will it hurt? Again, that 60% bar is pretty high. It kind of goes back to what we're saying. Opponents are trying to throw the kitchen sink at this and just try to hold those numbers down.
Yeah, and there's kind of two ways to look at this poll. I mean, yes, they're below 60%, but a majority of Floridians, or at least registered voters, do support recreational marijuana, and they do support abortion rights. So it does look like the Florida GOP is out of step with the larger population of voters in the state on this.
Yeah, because the party is coming out very strong against both of them. But, you know, ballot measures tend to do their best early on, you know, before the mud starts to fly. And so maybe these numbers, whether they're in the low 50s or high 50s, you know, they still may not be that promising at this moment.
Yeah, it is one of those issues, too, talking about DeSantis. He looking forward. I mean, he signed a ban on abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. And it does seem like Floridians did not like that. I mean, this is not something, and the general population is not interested in abortion restrictions that are that strict. So this could be something that, you know, obviously he was making a play for conservative voters in the Iowa Republican caucus, but another issue where you obviously Trump has been backpedaling on this and seems very nervous about how the abortion issue could impact him. And, you know, DeSantis has this on his record now, and it does seem like he's out of step with the voters on it as well. Coming up, Trump leads Biden in Florida in a new poll. Questions about whether Florida is in play for Biden this year after shifting red over the last few election cycles. The new survey found that Biden is 8 points behind Trump in Florida, who won the state by 3 percentage points in 2020. Antonio, for Florida, an 8-point deficit is pretty big. Can Biden close that gap?
Yeah, you know, let me throw a caveat out at the very beginning. I was reminded, actually maybe scolded earlier this month, that something is impossible until someone proves that the impossible is possible. Having said that, look, that 8-point gap sounds very plausible. If you look at where Trump defeated Hillary Clinton 2016, 1.2 percentage points, and then he defeated Biden in Florida by 3.4 percentage points in 2020. And then you look at what DeSantis did last year, and then you look at voter registration numbers, and clearly an 8-point lead for Trump at this point sounds, you know, reasonable. That no one should be surprised by at least that much. Then you have the issues. The fact of the matter, again, you go back to the USA Today Ipsos poll, and you look at, you know, where inflation ranked, where issues like, you know, housing and the economy, those are issues that people are very concerned about, and that seem to be on the side of Trump and the Republicans. Yes, the Democrats have, if you look at the polls, they have the abortion issue on their side, but as John just discussed, Amendment 4 does give people that split ballot option, vote to protect your reproductive rights, and then go straight ballot Republican. So yes, nothing is impossible, but you look at where the state is, and you look at where the issues land and what people are saying is most important to them and who polls have repeatedly said are strongest on issue X and Y. And that 8-point lead does seem insurmountable if you know, even if it is not impossible.
Yeah, I mean, 8 points in Florida used to be just a shocking number. I mean, before Trump won the state by 3 points, it was like every governor's race and presidential race going back about a decade was decided by a point or less. But it is interesting, you compare those 8 points to DeSantis, who won re-election by 19 percentage points. And it does seem to indicate that, you know, that election was a bit of an anomaly for, you know, maybe a number of reasons. Turnout was low on the Democratic side, but also, you know, DeSantis was really riding a wave of, you know, some of his COVID policies seemed to have some broader support. It does seem like Florida is a lot closer than a 19-point state.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If we get away from the polls, the one thing, look, out there talking to people for the last couple of years, this state is a red state for reasons other than past elections and even voter registration numbers or polls. People sentiment, people I talk to, and this is for last number of years, have tended to embrace more conservative policies. You know, again, the economy, the budget, low taxes. Okay, the COVID policies, yes, the free Florida viewpoint that has drawn so many people from other states here. And then you look at the issues that the Democrats have. Okay, yes, they have abortion, but we talked about the potential for a split ballot. Then the other things they tend to talk about is Obamacare. Yeah, Obamacare is very popular in Florida, but it's been popular for years and it hasn't made a dent at the ballot box. Medicaid expansion is also something you can make the argument from a policy perspective that is very necessary in Florida, and that the Democrats support and the Republicans have opposed. But again, it hasn't been a factor of the ballot box. So the question for Biden, beyond the polls and beyond the voter registration, the question for Biden-Harris 2024 is, what are you going to sell to Floridians? And that's where I'm looking at this. I'm thinking, looking at the landscape, and I'm not seeing much.
Yeah. And in the past, Democrats haven't really campaigned on some of these constitutional amendments. You look at like the minimum wage amendment. It wasn't really widely embraced by Democrats. It'll be interesting to see if they really tie themselves to these constitutional amendments and go all in on, you know, abortion rights, which they obviously are going to do that. But even recreational marijuana, I mean, that's something that, you know, Democrats haven't been like putting at the forefront of their campaigns. Does that help them, or like you said, it doesn't seem like these amendments have really moved the needle for Democrats at the top of the ticket in Florida in the past? But you know, the 8 points is a pretty strong lead for Trump to start out here. We'll see if Biden can narrow that as we go forward. We'll move on to some numbers here, John. You want to tell us about yours?
Zach, I had a 56, and that's the percentage of bills from the 2024 session that have still not been sent to Governor Ron DeSantis. Now the session ended 6 weeks ago, but the governor still hasn't seen much of the handiwork of the Republican-dominated legislature. Now this isn't that new. You know, once upon a time, the legislature used to get most of the bills to the governor within, you know, about a month after the session ended, and the governor would sign the state budget, you know, usually one of his last acts. Again, about a month after lawmakers had quit Tallahassee. But the tradition has kind of given way to a new tradition now. And that's the long rollout. And DeSantis has become a fan of that as a way to guarantee that he gets some newsmaking potential every few days somewhere in the state. So the legislature holds on to the bills and they send them to DeSantis when DeSantis wants to sign them and kind of, you know, make an appearance somewhere. He, you know, lately he signed bills related to book banning, law enforcement, and blocking local governments from imposing heat restrictions for companies with outdoor workers. You know, these are issues kind of popular with the Republican base that he loves, which, you know, our recent poll shows seems to at least, you know, like him a lot. And I think we're going to keep seeing these bills slowly sent to the governor by the legislature from now until July 1st, which is the date that, you know, much of the legislation and the state budget goes into effect. For, you know, for those keeping score, 325 bills, memorials, and resolutions were approved by lawmakers, and 181 still have not gone to DeSantis. That's according to legislative staff as of this week. So, you know, stay tuned out there.
All right. A lot more potential bill signings for DeSantis. John, I did want to ask you about one thing before we move on to Antonio's number. You know, Bob Graham, the Florida former Florida governor, passed away yesterday. You covered him. You know, what? First of all, condolences to his family. But can you say just a little bit about what his legacy is in Florida?
Well, Graham was an amazing figure in that, you know, he kind of rose from sort of being an obscure then Miami-Dade state senator to winning statewide election in 1978, took office in the beginning of 79. This was a period when Florida was still a something of a more, you know, conservative Democrat-dominated state. A Miami legislator was seen as probably a liberal, and that was going to be a problem. But Graham managed to cross that divide, and that was something that he kept almost his entire career. He ran, you know, as a ran for president in 2004, sort of short-lived, but it was a little bit of a strike at George W. Bush, the president at the time, the Republican, and also growing out of some of Graham's misgivings about the wars going on in Iraq and Afghanistan and some of our security breaches that were going on involving, you know, intelligence information. So Graham, and the thing too about Graham is, you know, he never lost his popularity among Floridians, you know, whether it was him in his work days, which really brought him front and center with everyday Floridians, where he would, you know, work in a job besides Floridians for a day. And that gave him a vision of what life in Florida was like. To, you know, then he was a performer with Jimmy Buffett, you know, another.
Founded the Save the Manatee Club with him.
Yeah, yeah. So
very, very, very involved in environmental issues, the Everglades, endangered species protection.
Yeah, yeah, and environmental, you know, landmark legislation that Graham was at the center of at a time when Florida was really in need of it. So, you know, one person I spoke to last night who had been a longtime, you know, aide and ally to Graham as a Democrat, it told me that, you know, they had done a poll just a few years ago, and I think about 2012 or so, and Graham's popularity and among Floridians and positive feeling was almost 100%, you know, compared to when you look at the way politicians now consider it a success, if they have, you know, 47% approval or something like that. Graham was more like in the 90% approval. So it was a remarkable career and one that, you know, he'll be missed. And hopefully that legacy can be carried on somehow.
Yeah. Definitely sort of the end of an era, you know, one of the biggest names in Democratic politics, especially in Florida history. But like you said, somebody who really tried to reach across the aisle and govern in a more bipartisan fashion. Well, we just wanted to mention his passing. He is a huge figure in Florida politics over the years. Antonio, you want to tell us about your numbers?
Yeah, but let me throw this out about Bob Graham while we're on the topic. Right after the 2000 election, I had a Democratic strategist. If you recall, Graham had been on Al Gore's vice presidential nominee shortlist, and I had a Democratic strategist tell me after the 2000 election that, well, Bob Graham would have been good for another 538 votes in Florida, which might have changed the history of the country. But wow, my number nonetheless is 23. And it's going back to the Ipsos USA Today poll that we've been talking about. 23% is the percentage of voters or people, respondents, who said that immigration was their top concern. And it was well behind the economy at 60% in Florida. Interestingly, only 44% of Republicans cited it as a top issue, while 14% of Democrats did. And just 15% of independents did. So it's interesting, given that Florida man Donald Trump, today, these days, immigration is the hub of his entire campaign. Crime has to do with immigrants coming from the border committing crimes in America. Jobs, he mentioned yesterday that he believes that immigrants coming through the border are taking jobs away from particularly Black, Latino, and even union workers. Social Security. Trump has said that he thinks all these illegal immigrants are going to basically dilute the benefits for Americans. National security, he has said that there's massive numbers of terrorists coming through the border. So the question is, given how conservative Florida is and they're attuned to Mr. Trump and conservative media, why did immigration rank so low? I would suggest that it's because Florida has a history with immigration that has largely been positive. And in fact, many Floridians who are going to vote are people who are either first generation immigrants or second or third generation immigrants who still you know, have grandparents around. And if you look at historically, it has been a boon to this state, both in terms of the economy, culture, tourism, you name it. Now, it does have its drawbacks. I'll point out that in 1980, the Mario boat lift from Cuba, over a span of months, 120,000 people all of a sudden flooded into Florida, including, by the way, people that Fidel Castro did release from insane asylums and from prisons and dumped into the U.S. in the thousands. And yet, despite that, the presidential candidate at the time, Republican Ronald Reagan, came to Miami in September of 1980, talked about need for orderly immigration, but without the demonizing rhetoric that we see so much in the campaign today. At the time, the Florida governor was Bob Graham, who we just spoke about. And Bob Graham sent extra highway patrol and National Guardsmen to Miami to help with the situation, with the crisis that had been created here. And yet he did not use demonizing language to immigrants. Why? Because both of them knew that America is a country of immigrants. So what I'll point out too is that in the Ipsos USA Today poll, even on immigration that Governor DeSantis has talked about so much this year and in past years, he still ranked underwater, 43% to 46% disapproval on immigration policy. So look, it's reasonable to say we want an orderly flow of immigrants into the country legally and not just crossing the border unannounced. It is possible to say and reasonable to say that we believe that border security is important to the country. But I think what this poll shows us that you can say that and do that without the demonizing rhetoric that is so divisive and quite frankly counterproductive, and it goes in the face of what the United States, a country of immigrants, is really all about.
Yeah, it's a good number to point out because Trump is really banging the drum hard on the immigration issue again. He feels it obviously that it's favorable to him, but it might be one of those issues that really revs up the Republican base and maybe helps a little bit with turnout, but it's not something that is necessarily a great general election issue. We'll have to see how it plays out. Well, my number is 411,000. That's how much money Trump's joint fundraising committee spent at Mar-a-Lago in February. You know, it's been well reported at this point that Trump has spent a lot of campaign money at some of his own businesses. He did it in 2016 and again in 2020, spending on everything from rent at Trump Tower to events at Mar-a-Lago to campaign money to fly his private aircraft around. What's interesting at this point is that Trump is really in a big cash crunch. You know, he's facing a number of legal judgments, and he is really in need of a lot of money. He has had to put up these huge bonds. So this increased campaign spending at his own properties is something that could actually help his businesses and help his financial situation. You know, it's not illegal to spend money at your own businesses as long as you pay fair market value. But it is something that raises ethical issues. I've talked to campaign finance experts who say that, you know, it could raise concerns in the minds of some voters. And it's something to watch as we get deeper into the campaign season here and Trump's legal and financial problems continue to be an issue. Well, that wraps up another episode of Inside Florida Politics. I want to thank our production guru, Rob Landers. And thanks to all of you for tuning in. We're out of here.